Welcome to today's deep dive. We are so glad you are here with us. We're going to take a stack of your sources today and extract the ultimate aha moments.
Absolutely.
And specifically, we are looking at this really fascinating paper by Dr. Zain Hakim. It's called The Illusion of Optimization.
It is a great piece of work. Very eye-opening.
Yeah, it really is. Because today, we're jumping straight into this modern obsession with, you know, health optimization, the whole biohacking movement.
Right, the medicine 3.0 trend.
Exactly. And the premise driving this whole industry, I mean, it feels totally rational at first. The logic is basically standard medicine works incredibly well, right?
Yeah.
So if standard medicine is great for sick people, then doing more of it, like more blood work, more continuous metric tracking, more scans, that should make a healthy person superhuman.
That is the assumption, yes.
But the hook here, the real counterintuitive truth that Dr. Hakim reveals, is that chasing these metrics doesn't just fail to optimize your health.
No, it doesn't.
It actually creates this illusion that can lead to real, tangible harm.
And, you know, validating that desire is important. It is a deeply compelling trap to fall into. The desire for agency over your own health, to feel like you are doing everything you can to be healthy, that is universal.
No, 100%.
But the optimization industry has built this massive multi-billion dollar empire on what the author terms quantified quackery.
Quantified quackery. I love that phrase.
That is so accurate. Because it is the fundamental confusion of correlation with causation. Hmm. Just because a specific marker happens to be associated with a disease does not mean that artificially forcing that marker into a new range changes your actual health outcome.
Right.
We are seeing all these influencers in private clinics market these incredibly invasive protocols with absolute certainty. And they rely on this intuitive assumption you mentioned, the idea that more data always equals better health.
So let's start dismantling that, because Dr. Hakim did this wild and of one experiment that completely shatters that illusion of precision.
This is one of my favorite parts of the paper.
It is crazy. He sat down and drew 15 separate samples of blood from a single vein at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And he sent them all to the exact same lab. Now, you would expect the readouts to be carbon copies, right?
You would hope so.
But the bicarbonate, which measures blood acidity, varied by more than 10% across those samples, and his testosterone varied by more than 40 points.
From the same blood draw.
The exact same draw. Okay, let's unpack this, because what does this actually mean for the biohacking trend?
Well, it means that blood work is a fuzzy instrument. It is not this hyper-precise micrometer that the optimization industry pretends it is.
Right.
What he demonstrated there is just the analytical variability, the built-in noise of the lab machines themselves. But then you have to add biological noise on top of that.
Oh, because our bodies are constantly changing.
Exactly. Our bodies are in constant flux. Dr. Hakim noted that drawing his blood just 1 hour after lifting weights caused his testosterone to jump by over 100 points.
100 points. So just think about that. Think about how many online influencers claim to have optimized their hormones by, say, 40 points using some expensive morning routine.
Right.
When they literally could have achieved the exact same numerical result just by sending the exact same vial of blood to the lab twice.
Precisely. They are capturing statistical noise and they are monetizing it as a biological victory.
Wow.
And this leads us to what is arguably the most dangerous aspect of this whole movement, which is the decoupling of surrogate markers from actual patient outcomes.
Yes, this is the core concept of today's deep dive. Changing a metric does not mean you improved the outcome.
It absolutely does not.
And the paper outlines this medical graveyard of historical examples where we learn this the hard way, like the kidney paradox.
That is a classic example.
So nephrologists knew that two different drugs, ARBs and ACE inhibitors, both reduced proteinuria, which is protein leaking into the urine.
Right, which is a major marker for kidney failure.
Exactly. So the logic was, well, let's combine them. That should be the ultimate protective therapy. And the trial showed the metric improved beautifully.
The protein leakage dropped.
But the patients actually suffered more kidney damage and more death.
The metric got better, the patient got worse.
Exactly. And then the Cassess trial did the same thing with the heart. After her heart attack, irregular heartbeats increased the risk of sudden death. So doctors gave antiarrhythmic drugs. The metric was fixed. The arrhythmia stopped.
But the risk of death in the treatment group skyrocketed. The drug suppressed the mechanical issue, but triggered a lethal pathway.
And then there's torstrapib. This drug raised good HDL cholesterol and lowered bad LDL cholesterol. based on the biohacking playbook, that is a massive win.
It was the holy grail of lipid management.
But the trial was halted because it increased mortality. It literally killed people.
What's fascinating here is why incredibly intelligent researchers keep falling for this. And it comes down to the seductive power of mechanistic storytelling.
Mechanistic storytelling, what does that mean in practice?
It means you can look at a biochemical pathway in a textbook and construct a flawless logical narrative. You say, if I block this enzyme, then this molecule increases and this disease is prevented.
It sounds so convincing.
It does. Take aspirin, for example. If you trace just the COX2 pathway, you can make a theoretically sound argument that aspirin should cause blood clotting.
Really?
Yes, based on that one isolated mechanism. But human biology is wildly complex. It is a redundant, chaotic system. When you test aspirin in the real world, in real humans, the dominant pathway actually thins the blood.
So you just cannot predict a real-world outcome from a nice textbook story.
The rule is absolute. You cannot assume a changed number means a saved life. Improving an outcome requires its own randomized controlled trial, an RCT.
And standard medicine learns from these mistakes. But the optimization movement just ignores this completely. They sell the changed number as the cure.
Which brings us directly to Goodhart's Law.
Yes, Goodhart's Law.
It is a mental model that states, when a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure.
That is so profound. And the real-world analogies in the source are just brilliant, like grip strength.
Right.
Epidemiological studies show that grip strength correlates with a longer lifespan. But grip strength is just a marker for overall vitality and muscle mass. If you just sit on the couch and train your grip with a spring-loaded trainer, your grip gets elite.
But you haven't extended your lifespan at all. You just gamed the measurement.
Or the blood donation example.
That one is shocking.
If you donate blood, your body makes fresh red blood cells. A1C measures the sugar attached to red blood cells. So donating blood artificially lowers your A1C number.
Because you diluted the pool with fresh cells.
Exactly. You look optimized on paper, but you did absolutely nothing to fix your underlying glucose physiology.
You just broke the utility of the test.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because these influencers don't just game the metrics. They invent new optimal ranges.
They do. They redraw the map.
Standard clinical ranges are a bell curve. By definition, the top 5% and bottom 5% of totally healthy people naturally fall outside the normal range.
Right.
But influencers say, no, normal isn't good enough. We need tighter optimal thresholds. And that just creates more false positives.
And it ignores the fact that outlier lab values might just be functional adaptations for that specific person.
Like the athlete example.
Yes.
Yeah.
A heavily training endurance athlete might have low hemoglobin on a standard test. That is often a functional physiological adaptation to their training volume. If a biohacker tries to fix that and push it into their arbitrary optimal range, they would actually harm the athlete.
And the most insane example of this is testosterone. Influencers constantly push for higher optimal testosterone ranges for longevity, purely based on vibes, because having high testosterone makes you feel energetic.
But the survival data shows the exact opposite.
The eunuch paradox.
The eunuch paradox. Across the animal kingdom, castrated males live significantly longer. And in human historical records, like the Korean imperial court, human eunuchs live significantly longer than intact men.
Up to 19 years longer in some cases?
Exactly. The actual data suggests suppressing testosterone extends lifespan. Yet influencers sell aggressive protocols to elevate it, claiming it is for longevity.
It is entirely backward. Now, I want to ask you, the listener, a question. Have you ever tried a supplement or protocol, felt amazing, and thought, there's no way this is just a placebo?
We all have.
Because it feels so real. And it is hard to tell someone their physical experience is an illusion.
It is hard. But the hard truth is that we all systematically underestimate placebos. We think placebos fool other people, not us.
Right. We think we're too smart for it.
But placebos powerfully dominate the exact domains that influencers target: pain, focus, mood, and athletic performance.
Which brings us to the sham surgery trial. This blew my mind.
The Houston VA study.
Yes. For decades, surgeons did arthroscopic knee surgery for torn meniscus cartilage. They went in, cleaned it up, and patients got better. Everyone thought it was a mechanical fix.
Until they did a randomized sham-controlled trial.
They put patients under, made an incision so there was a scar, and did absolutely no repair inside the knee.
Nothing.
And 2 years later, the patients who got the fake surgery felt just as much pain relief and improvement as the people who got the real surgery.
Which is incredible. But here is the danger of relying on anecdotes. Trading placebo benefits for biological risks is a very dangerous game.
Because the real surgery still carries actual risks.
Anesthesia complications, infection, blood clots. The fake surgery gave the same benefit with none of the internal surgical risk.
Wow.
This is why testimonials are the most dangerous form of medical evidence. They conflate a powerful placebo response with whatever product is being sold.
So what does this all mean for proactive testing? Because the catch it early mantra sounds so responsible. To understand why it's a trap, we have to talk about Bayes' theorem.
Bayes' theorem, for the layperson, is actually pretty straightforward. It is all about pretest probability.
Okay, break that down.
It means a test's accuracy doesn't matter if you ignore the context of the patient. Think of a highly accurate pregnancy test.
Okay.
If you run that highly accurate test on a man and it comes back positive, it is a 100% false positive because the pretest probability of a man being pregnant is zero.
The context dictates the result.
Exactly.
And the math on these optimization panels is staggering. If you run a test that is 99% accurate for a rare disease like pancreatic cancer on a completely healthy population,
99.3% of the positives are false.
That is terrifying. And if you go to a clinic and run a panel of 50 different biomarker tests, you have a 92% chance of getting a false alarm.
92%.
You walk in healthy and you walk out thinking you are diseased. The industry is literally manufacturing a fictitious sense of disease.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this statistical nightmare scales up aggressively when we look at full body MRIs.
The ultimate biohacker status symbol right now.
Yes. And with MRIs, we cross the line from false positives into overdiagnosis.
What is the difference between a false positive and overdiagnosis?
A false positive is when they see a shadow, you panic, you get a biopsy, and it turns out to be nothing. It is a benign cyst, it causes severe anxiety, but you are cleared.
Okay, so what is overdiagnosis?
Overdiagnosis is finding a real confirmed cancer that would never have harmed you in your lifetime.
Wait, a cancer that wouldn't harm you?
Yes. Autopsy studies show a huge portion of the population dies of old age with small, undetected cancers in their thyroid, prostate, or breasts. They die with the cancer, not of it.
But if an MRI finds it when you're 40...
You become a cancer patient on paper. You get radiation, surgery, or chemo for a disease that was never going to alter your lifespan.
You endure all the trauma for zero survival benefit.
Exactly.
And the source shares the sobering Cochrane data on mammograms to prove this.
Yes.
They found that for every one cancer death prevented by regular screening, 10 women are overdiagnosed. 10 women undergo unnecessary chemo and surgery to save one.
And detecting more of those early, stage one cancers does not equal an overall improvement in longevity for the screened population.
Because catching indolent cancer doesn't save a life. It just ruins the quality of it.
Precisely.
So to wrap this up, and speaking directly to you listening right now, taking in all this complex info-based theorem, Goodhart's law, metric decoupling, it takes serious mental effort.
It really does.
But now you are equipped to spot quantified quackery. Medicine is a miracle when it is used to treat the sick, but it becomes a profound hazard when it is hijacked by influencers to treat the statistical noise of healthy people.
This raises an important question, though.
What's that?
At the very end of Dr. Hakeem's paper, he explicitly notes that the interventions that actually do have direct, high-quality RCT evidence of extending human lifespan are not surrogate markers.
They aren't fancy biohacks.
No, they are entirely unglamorous. Sustained zone 2 cardiovascular exercise, deep social connections, basic sleep hygiene.
The boring stuff.
The boring, non-monetizable stuff. There's a small number of real interventions that work. So if we abandon the illusion of optimization, the MRIs, the massive blood panels.
What are those few scientifically proven longevity habits, and how can you start shifting your time and money toward those instead of chasing statistical noise?
That is the real work.
It absolutely is. Something to think about as you go about your day. Thanks for joining us. We will catch you on the next deep dive.